Now.
Welcome. For your listening pleasure, we invite ears of all shapes, colors, and sizes to experience the Audio Files Podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Audio Files Podcast, recording live from the Inland Empire. We have a lot of firsts tonight on tonight's episode. But before we get into it, I'm your host today, Bebo. Ant couldn't be with us. David couldn't be with us. Hernan couldn't be with us. And I'm giving out their government names, their social security, everything, just because they couldn't be here tonight. I'm here with my buddy, though, the Stallion himself. Say what's up to the people.
What's up, y'all? It's Eddie Stallion here. What was the word that we were saying last one? Wiener? Wiener. So.
Oh, yeah.
Don't throw that out again. what's going up, going on, y'all? Some quick shout-outs before we get into it. Shout-out to my wife. It was her birthday this past week, so happy birthday to her.
Whoa, whoa.
Another shout-out to my buddies Rob Ray and Chris over at The Works Podcast, always showing us love, so I always want to shout those guys out. And other than that, happy to be here. Three of those other guys, sending out their addresses. they're going to be on the no-no list for the Baby Mama website, so you'll see the photos of them. No longer messing with those guys.
Definitely shout out to Rob. I had the pleasure of meeting him. And if you're listening, dude, boy, do I have a documentary to recommend to you. I believe I recommended it to him like 6 times the night we met because I was on a good one. But shout out to The Works Podcast. And if it is your first time listening to us, of course, here at the Audio Files Podcast, we pick one LP or two EPs. We alternate. We give you what we like about the project, what we don't. Dive as deep as we can into it, give you some background. And then at the end, we give you songs of the week and hand it off to the next member. So if it's your first time listening to us, welcome. And if it's not, then welcome back. And tonight we have a pick. It was my pick. And a first of sorts where we're doing a reggae album, but not only just a reggae album, but it's a dub reggae album. And we're going to get into what all that means in a second, but we are doing a Jack Johnson album called In Between Dub. And apparently, like, obviously I've heard of who Jack Johnson is throughout the years, never really dived deep into his albums. I've known singles here and there. He's an American singer-songwriter, apparently filmmaker too, and former professional surfer, which I had no idea. But it's not surprising since he is from the island of Hawaii. And, you know, it's funny because on the streaming services, his music is labeled as rock, but I don't know if I would totally agree with that. I mean, I don't know what I would, you know, classify it as, perhaps island music. I don't know. That's the best way I can describe it. But so get into this particular album, In Between Dub, because he is from the islands, he's apparently been a longtime reggae fan. And in early 2020, that is, he reached out to legendary Jamaican producer who goes by the name of Lee Scratch Perry. And we actually, on the news segment, basically announced his unfortunate passing. I believe it was sometime last year, but in early 2020, Jack Johnson reaches out to Lee Scratch Perry and basically asks if he would, you know, do him the honors of remixing some of his most popular songs. And to his surprise, Lee Scratch Perry said yes. And he got 2 tracks in before he unfortunately passed. And I wanted to get into what dub music is. It is a subgenre of reggae, which is basically their version of remixing and involves a lot of echoes and reverb. As you can tell, if you heard this album, there's a lot of that. And also, you know, people who do this dub style add their own flavor to it. And Lee Scratch Perry in the early 70s kind of innovated it and really made it popular and had this really distinct sound. And he's worked with so many classic artists like Bob Marley, the Congos, Beastie Boys, just to kind of name a few. Yeah, so he innovated dub music and he did 2 songs on this project, which are course, are listed. But when he passed away, it kind of put this project on hold. And apparently, Lee Scratch Perry's band of the last decade called Subatomic Sound System kind of were there to pick up the pieces and finish the project. So with all that being said, I'm going to get into my thoughts on the project. It's honestly, as much of a reggae fan as I am, this is my first dub album I've ever listened to, like, in its entirety. And it was an interesting mesh between Jack Johnson's music, which, of course, we described as, I don't know, like, island music meshed with, you know, this reggae dub style. And you could tell that, you know, it wasn't lyrics or cadences that fit that style. And some people might like it, some people might not. I thought it was kind of evident that it was, you know, tailored to be dub. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. It kind of was all over the place. Sometimes the echo and reverb was a little much, I guess. And I've heard dub music before, because a lot of reggae artists will put like 3 extra tracks that are dubbed from, I don't know, an EP or album. So it's kind of typical, but to hear a whole dub album was different, you know? And I thought, because it's summer here in SoCal, I would love it. And I didn't think it was terrible or anything, but I didn't fall in love with it like I thought I would. There was tracks on it that I definitely liked, but there was tracks that I didn't as well. And overall, like, nothing stuck to me. And those are my initial thoughts on the project. What about you, Addy?
I'm semi-familiar with Jack Johnson. I think back in the day, he was really popular. My sisters both went to Cal State Santa Barbara.
Oh, nice.
UC Santa Barbara, and that's where he went to school. So it was kind of, and he's kind of got that surfer vibe. Music
right.
Kind of gives me that, like, vibe, surfing music that you would listen to. So when I heard he was doing a reggae version, or again, I'm not familiar with reggae at all. So initially I was like, I wasn't sure how it was going to work. And then now learning what dub is, because I was like, when I was reading, listening to it, I was like, some of these songs sound familiar. And I realized that, as you said, they're just kind of remixes.
Yeah.
Of his music. And I kind of agree with you. Kind of thought of it like pineapple on pizza.
Some people don't like it.
Some people do like it. Sometimes I like it. Some don't like it. And I kind of agree with you, where some of the stuff landed and some of the stuff was like not really working for me. Initially, at first, I was like, oh, but I think, like, and just like the Jack Johnson music, for me, like, I have to kind of be like in a certain mood or a certain vibe to kind of listen to it. Mm-hmm. I kind of appreciated some of it again when I was listening to it, but I kind of felt the same way what you were saying. Kind of felt a little disheveled sometimes. Sometimes it didn't really work. Sometimes it did, but overall, you know, what you said, kind of same with me. Nothing really, like, stuck with me. Like, you know, be like, damn, I really need to hear the song again and again, you know, so.
Right.
But I mean, maybe it would have been better if he was actually, you know, around to kind of help in the project more, but I don't know. It was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it left me feeling like, I wonder what this would have sounded like if Lee Scratch Perry unfortunately didn't pass away. Like, I don't know what, you know, how much better it would have been, if any at all. And the other interesting thing is, you know, for the listeners, Addison and I are both 420 friendly, but I unfortunately didn't get a chance to, you know, become elevated while listening to this, which is kind of, I think, its intention, dub music, that is. And I didn't get to listen to it in that state, if you will. And I don't know if that would have made it any better, to be honest, but just thought that was worth noting that I didn't get a chance to listen to it in that way. I don't know if you did.
No, I didn't, but we'll get back to everyone.
Yeah, maybe it'll be the best album we've ever heard.
We're like, wow, that was amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think that's the same way for me when I think of Jack Johnson music. I can feel that being like a good thing to be on.
Right.
I don't think I've ever experienced either, so I'm going to have to write that down to do that. Maybe next
weekend. Yeah, exactly. So with that being said, let's get into it. I know, you know, there wasn't a variation of beats, but we'll name our favorite beats anyways. Is there any that you have that stuck out to you, even though they were kind of all in the same lane?
Yeah, I wrote down a couple. The intro track, Traffic in the Sky, kind of started off pretty nice. And it kind of got me, I'm like, all right, this is kind of interesting. And then again, some tracks hit or miss, but that one kind of started off kind of nice. Wasting Time, I like the, I don't know if it's like a horn or whatever instrument that was in the back. You know, I'm a horny boy.
Yeah.
Like, it was like interludes here and there. And every time I heard it, I was like, all right, fuck with that. And then nice. I also put down Breakdown. I just said I like the vibe of that overall beat. But as you mentioned, kind of hard to all kind of in the same lane. Nothing really like really stood out to me, but those are the ones I could think of.
Nice. So for me, I also had Traffic in the Sky, which was a single for this album. Obviously Lee Scratch Perry was attached to it, and you know, I thought it was not only cool for him to do the dub remix, but also incorporate his voice on the track, which is probably, honestly, one of the last few tracks he's, you know, he ever did before passing, unfortunately. And it's cool that Jack Johnson gets that kind of bragging right, you know, to say, you know, I got Lee Scratch Perry's, like, one of the last few tracks he did. I also had Calm Down, mostly like this one because of the Hawaii type of sound that was on the instrumentals. And oh, I'm sorry, I got confused with my favorite tracks. No, so I had Trapping in the Sky and then Calm Down. This one also had island vibes written all over it with that classic Hawaii sound to it as well. And then It's All Understood, another traditional reggae dub beat. I liked all the echoes and the way the dub was used on this particular track. So those were mine. That being said, let's transition into our favorite tracks. So what were yours?
Favorite tracks, I put down Wasted Time in here as well. Overall, I like the vibe and the lyrics of that track. I think I liked that track even before this, hearing it on this, so I thought I did a pretty good job with that one. I also wrote down No Other Way and One Step Ahead.
Okay, cool. I had Traffic in the Sky, like I said earlier, because I read it already, but I thought it was cool how Scratch Perry incorporated his voice, and again, one of the last tracks he probably ever did. I had Calm Down. This one also had the Hawaii type of sound on it. And the instrumental was just so laid back, and the lyrics were just, you know, just saying to woo-saw, spark one, and take it easy. At least that's what I got from it, you know. And then the last one I had was Better Together. I liked the sentiment of the song. It was really another feel-good track about being in love and just being a better person thanks to a plus one. So those were our favorite tracks. Let's go ahead and do our least favorite tracks, which I'm curious to hear what you had to say about the least favorite tracks on this particular album.
I had a couple things. I do like the Better Together track, don't get me wrong, but I don't know, for me, like, the OG one, just, I remember that one a lot, so
I was it like, slaps better?
Yeah, for me personally, yeah. I think it slaps better. Not that I didn't like the track, but that's what I was like, I don't know about that one. I also put down... I think it's close to the end, or when the tracks Turn Your Love. I don't know, something about the breakdown at the end just didn't like, or like some of the pieces of that track, I was just like, oh, I don't know about, like, I didn't really vibe with it as well. So
yeah,
it was a couple of the things that I for least favorite.
I had some of the same ones. I mean, times like these, unfortunately, Scratch Perry only did two dub remixes on this album, and unfortunately, this was one of those two. It did sound kind of half unfinished and just kind of half-assed, if I'm being honest. And he did incorporate his voice on that one too, though. So it's kind of bittersweet that you get him on it to remix it, but it just kind of did sound unfinished. I'm going to go ahead and say One Step Ahead. This one just sounded different. You know, the meshing of the dub wasn't as cohesive as maybe some of the other ones on the album. And like you, Addison, I had Turn Your Love. This one was mostly just instrumental and a lot of dub. And for that reason, it was just okay to me. There wasn't anything quite special about it. So those are going to be our least favorite tracks for this album. And next, we're going to go to a segment we like to do. If we were an executive producer of the album, what would we change to make this project better? Is there anything you can say coming from a perspective of, like you said, you're not really familiar with dub or reggae, but, you know, having heard this and being somewhat familiar with Jack Johnson's music, is there anything you would have maybe added or subtracted to make this better?
It's a good question. It's hard for me to say because it's already, I could be like, well, would it be nice if, you know, it was actually made to its what it was supposed to be made, you know? Obviously, right. There's only two tracks, so that's an easy cop-out to say, like, wish it was actually made the way it wanted to be made.
Right.
I don't know the band well enough to know if maybe their sound really resonated with, you know, what maybe initially the sound they wanted, but I don't know. It's hard because... I think I'm leaving with this one thinking, like, his music really didn't work well with that reggae vibe, personally.
Yeah.
I don't know, his voice just didn't really... I don't know, I'm not too much about reggae, but his voice didn't scream reggae to me. It just felt like sometimes it felt like, you know, someone that just mashes up two sounds.
Like a monster mash?
Yeah, and it's hard for me to say, like, you know, don't do reggae, do your regular stuff, you know?
Yeah.
This is exactly what he wanted to do. It's cool he did it, but, man, I don't know, maybe he should have got some help elsewhere from other reggae artists that
really That's true.
Helped the sound a little better, but, yeah, it just overall felt like a little unfinished. Maybe
yeah.
That's unfortunately the case.
That's exactly what I thought. I mean, you could tell, you know, again, Traffic in the Sky was one that they did. I like that track.
Mm.
If they would have done more stuff like that, I don't know if it would have helped the album. I think so. Unfortunately, you know, again, Lee Scratch Perry died. And it just kind of felt like he was scrambling to finish this with other artists that are pretty big names within the realm of dubbing and reggae. But even with that, like, it was very, I don't know. It just wasn't cohesive, even though, again, it's a reggae dub album. And the best way for, I don't know if this would help listeners, but it really reminded me of Linkin Park's Reanimation album. Mm. You know, when I first bought that one, I was kind of disappointed because I thought it was a brand spanking new Linkin Park album, which it was, but it was a remix album. And I was just like, oh. And so it's definitely a different type of album because, again, it's not anything new. It's just it has a new sound to it. And with this one, I thought, you know, you could tell there was a lot of hands on this project. And maybe that was his intention. I'm not sure. But the only thing I could have thought to perhaps make it better is to incorporate some older reggae artists of that era, if any, or maybe even try and get, you know, some of those Marley kids on here to enhance it some way, somehow, you know, especially if you're going to do reggae, a dub, which is a remix, might as well lean into that, you know, and add some new verses or something, which there wasn't much of except for Lee Scratch Perry's voice, I believe.
Yeah, I think so, because everything else kind of sounded familiar. Again, I knew a handful of the songs, but you know, it didn't seem, again, for me, initially I wrote down, he probably could have, it would have been cool if he did like original stuff, but then that was me not knowing what dub music was or,
right.
So I was like, oh, never mind. I should scratch that because,
yeah.
But maybe if he tried something new, you know, maybe if he intentionally made a song that was reggae, maybe it'd resonate more, but
right.
I don't know.
So with that being said, I think we're going to go to our Check Me Out segment. We hustle, check me out. You in trouble, check me out. Pay us now, check me out. Pay me double, check me out. This is where we refer you to anything the artist might have done previous. It doesn't have to be exclusively music. It could be a book they wrote, a movie they were in, or something like that. So I'm going to go ahead and start with Addy. Is there anything Jack Johnson related that you have that you think the listeners should check out?
I did write down here Better Together, the original version.
Okay.
Again, that one's just one that it resonates with me a lot. And then another one that I always, what makes me think about Jack Johnson whenever someone mentions it is his song. He has a song called Banana Pancakes.
Exactly. So, exactly.
I only know. That's the one that I'm like, yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what else he's really been.
That's the one I had too. I have a friend named Jarrett. Shout out to Jarrett. He used to bump Banana Pancakes in his car, and so that's how I know of Jack Johnson, is because of that song. So I had it in my Check Me Out as well. You know what, even though this is a Jack Johnson project, I'm gonna go ahead and throw in another song by, let's see, the Congos. It's a group, the Congos, and Lee Scratch Perry executive produced it, and I want to give the listeners kind of a taste of what that classic kind of Lee Scratch Perry production sounds like. It's so unique, and I just don't know how to describe it. And apparently he would come up with all these trinkets to record music. Like, he would put a microphone he had the recording studio in Jamaica called Black Ark Studios, I believe it was called. And he would just come up with these unconventional ways of making sounds, basically. And so I'm going to recommend a song by a group called The Congos called Congo Man. And it was produced by Lee Scratch Perry, just to kind of give the listeners a taste of what that sounds like. And we're going to transition into our rating and any final thoughts you might have had on this album. by Jack Johnson titled In Between Dub. Go for it, Addy.
Before I go into it, I just remembered he did do like a sing-along album type thing for the Curious George.
Oh, really?
Back in the day. I can't remember any songs with them, but maybe when we start doing the Check Me Out, I'll look for something. But anyway, going into my final thoughts, I kind of gave most of what I thought during the opening, how I felt this album definitely felt, you know, kind of all over the place. Again, I'm not a reggae or don't really listen to reggae as much, or would I say listen to too much Jack Johnson. But overall, I think what you said kind of describes it the best. Nothing really like resonated with me. Nothing I can think really, you know, I'm going to take with it. I'll try again listening to it though, and I'll report back when we're elevated or when I get elevated to try. Maybe my rating will be a little better, but overall, there's maybe a handful of tracks I can see myself revisiting. So overall, I ended up giving it. What is this grade? Hold on. What is this? I gave it like a C, which was like a. So I gave it a 3.7 out of 5.
That's fair. I'm in that same kind of area of rating. I think it's only saving grace for me was it's, I hate to use this word, but it's vibe, you know, the feel good vibes. I was listening to this, you know, in my car. It is summertime here in SoCal. So, you know, if I was having like a shitty day or something, this kind of would lift my spirits up a little bit. So that bumped up my rating just a tad. But I thought it lived kind of in the C area as well. You know, if I was trying to be real kind, maybe B minus, but I'm going to give it a C plus, a 3.9. So with that being said, let's go ahead and tally this bad boy up. We are going to, let's see, according to my calculations, if we can get a drum roll, we have a... What the fuck is that? It is a 76%, which is, I think that's fair. I think that's very, very fair. And we usually ask this question. I mean, I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but would you cop the vinyl?
Maybe if they're like, buy vinyl, get this free Jack Johnson vinyl, we'll
pay you. Maybe buy a gram and it comes with this record.
Yeah. Use it to roll your whatever you want.
Exactly.
But yeah, unfortunately, no. Probably would be a pass.
Same. And you know, the reason I found out about this album is I think I saw it on a where was it? It was probably on a record shop online, and that's usually how I find out about them. And it had a really cool colorway. It's a limited edition. And I saw Jack Johnson, I saw Lee Scratch Perry, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I wanted to buy it before even listening to it. And I'm glad I got to listen to it because I don't think I'd buy it anymore, to be honest, you know? And, you know, maybe again, I've said this in the past, if I found it for really cheap, you know, on clearance or something like that, I for sure would buy it, you know, if it were like around the $10 range or something like that. Yeah. But definitely not paying full price for this one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I like to have those records where if I'm, you know, sparking one up, you know, just some vibes in the background and whatnot.
Yeah.
But that is our conclusion for In Between Dub by Jack Johnson, and I'm going to pass it off to Addy, who had a couple of questions to ask me, himself, and the listeners. Go for it, Addy.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw out, and maybe we'll even ask our audiences, since it's, you know, already halfway through the year, which is
crazy,
wild.
Yeah.
We always usually go through kind of like what we've been listening to or like our top albums. And for us, it doesn't have to be only what we reviewed, but it can be anything this past year that we, you know, that we like. I went with just top five because I know personally for us, we haven't recorded as much, but just top five projects. It could be either LPs or EPs that you kind of want to, you know, talk about or bring up that, you know, so far that you like. And so I'll start off with a couple honorable mentions. First one being Metro Boomin came out and did the Spider-Man soundtrack, which
nice.
It was a great movie and also a pretty good album. So I want to shout that one out. I also wanted to shout out the Lil Yachty album that we reviewed. Start here. Again, I've revisited that one a couple times. I don't think I've revisited Elevated, so I need to try that too.
True.
definitely, I throw that on sometimes at work, and people are like, what is this? And I'm like, it's a little yada. You're like, what? That's no way. But yeah, shout out to those honorable mentions. Kind of going off top some albums, my top five this year so far. I actually have the Jonas Brothers album called
Nice.
Album. I don't know, I kind of messed with that. It's a pretty short, quick listen. It's a nice vibe, I guess. Album that you chose, Bebo, The Arcs, Electrophonic Chronic.
Nice.
Just love that album. Throw it on in the background a lot of times when I'm at work. No one gets offended with that. an album that I reviewed that I kind of revisited and kind of liked a little more, The Gorillaz' Cracker Island. And as well as another album I picked, Skrillex' Quest for Fire, probably the one I've listened to the most, even when reviewing it. Again, just, I don't know why, it's something about it that I keeps wanting me to revisit. It also just keeps me up when I'm driving to work and back. So, and then the number one album, which we haven't reviewed or haven't been talked about, is artist. His name's Noah Kahan. He came out with this album, Stick Seasons, last year, but he came out with like a deluxe one, which came with 7 additional tracks. And so it's called Stick Season, We'll All Be Here Forever. That's probably my favorite album so far this year. And yeah, those are some of the tracks, projects I've been listening to so far this year. What about you, Bebo?
Yeah, before I give mine, genre is that last artist you mentioned?
Like it's more like indie folky song, like
okay
vibe. So
well, hopefully we get to check it out.
It's definitely different than anything else. But yeah, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, hopefully we get to check it out. You know what? To be honest, I don't have many. I do have the Electrophonic Chronic by The Arcs as well. That was definitely probably my favorite album so far of the year. As far as EPs go, the Jeff Goldblum one, I really like that one. Plays well with others, the Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. Surprisingly, the Larry June and Alchemist album, The Great Escape, I also really like that one as well. Honorable mention to Let's Start Here by Lil Yachty. And even though this isn't this year, I mean, I don't know if it counts, but tell end of last year, an artist by the name of Ecstasy, who I've been really into, he came out with like a EP. I think it's considered an EP or album. I'm not sure. It's closer to EP because it's only 23 minutes long, but it's called Misery. That's been on replay for me. So I would say those are probably my top ones, at least the ones I can think of off the top of my head. Sorry if I missed any. I'll try and catch them for next episode. And that's going to do it for me.
All right. Sounds good. Again, maybe we'll throw this question out in our stories just to kind of see.
Yeah. We'd love to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. Hear what everyone else has been vibing with and what they're listening to.
Perhaps we're missing something that we don't know about, you know?
Yep.
That being said, I'm going to throw a curveball. We didn't plan for this, but we usually do. But are there any albums out there that we haven't, I know there's a ton, but is there any, like, let's just say top 3-5 that, you know, you'd like to review from last year, this year, that, you know, that you want to get to before this season of Audiophiles Podcast ends in 2023?
I could probably name a couple. One that first came into my head was Katrinata.
Katrinata?
Can't talk. Yeah, they came out with the album with Amina, and I haven't listened to it, but it's definitely something that I think I'd like to listen to. JPEG Mafia came out with an album with Danny Brown that I haven't really got to listen to, which True. I really want to. Daniel Caesar came out with an album, I think, that Bread Boy mentioned a while back. What else do we have? Killer Mike came out with the album just recently I'm really interested to hear. And there's just so much music that's coming out too. My boy Posty's coming out with an album.
That's right.
This month, Paramore came out with an album that was heard was pretty good. There's just, you know,
too many.
Too many. I'm just going off of just looking at my list of albums that I wanted to listen to. Even Metro Boomin came out with the album besides Spider-Man 1, but
that, I mean, the soundtrack is definitely something I'd like to eventually, you know, check out myself.
I'm just trying to look at, and then just coming off of just this year, I'm sure we're getting more and more music coming down the line.
Yeah, there's a ton. I hope we get to as many of them as we can. You know, one that we didn't get to review because of the whole streaming thing. I know it just And I read that they're coming out with like physical copies is the whole Black Star album. Hopefully that can, you know, release somewhere where we all have access to it. I mean, the fact that it's on Bandcamp, we probably could all listen to it now, but that's definitely one that I want to check out. Like you said, Danny Brown, JPEG. There's an indie rock band, and apparently, like in the indie rock world, it's considered a super group by three indie female artists, and the group is called Boy Genius. It's indie rock. I want to check it out. I thought that's pretty cool. Three females forming a band who are all solo artists. Who else? I think we've named them in the past. Don Toliver, I'd like to do. Who else? There's just too many. Our boy Victor Oladipo has an EP that I would like to review. What else? Black Thought, Pink Sweats, Brent Faiyaz, artist called Benny Sings. So too many. So yeah. Let us know also. I mean, maybe we'll make a post of albums you guys want us to review that we haven't. Take some suggestions. That would be pretty cool. We're going to go into our news segment. And I have a couple of news things. Let's see. My first one is, I thought this was noteworthy. A female artist who I really enjoyed and found out thanks to my favorite artist or rapper, whatever you want to call him, Blue. Her name, she goes by the name of Astrud Gilberto. She's Brazilian. And chances are you've most likely have heard a song of hers either in a movie or in a show. She has just such an angelic voice, and she unfortunately passed away at the age of 83. She was known for kind of pioneering this sound in Brazilian music called bossa nova music, and Blue samples her in one of his one of my favorite projects from him, in Her Favorite Color. And so I just want to report her unfortunate passing. That was one bit of news. I don't know if the name sounds familiar to you at all, Addy?
Unfortunately not, but I guarantee, like you said,
yes. If
I heard her voice or something, I'd be like, oh, yeah.
I guarantee. And I wonder if the listeners will, if you guys want to Google her or YouTube some of her songs, check it out, because she's definitely one of those timeless classic artists. The second piece of news I had for you guys is... This piece of information that I thought was pretty cool. It has to do with Kanye West and how back in the day, early 2000s, he was a huge fan of the Larry David show, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and apparently he tried making his own version of it. And there's a pilot that just kind of surfaced on YouTube. I think it's almost like 30 minutes long, with some of the same cast members, and it was supposed to be titled A Little Inappropriate. And it's, again, the pilot for the show or series that he was trying to do. But I think he had to eventually scrap it due to his schedule, and he just never came back to it. But, man, what would have been? That would have been really interesting. This is also around the time where he was just in his prime, arguably, or, you know, just starting, and everyone was really hopping on that Kanye train, you know? So that was my second piece of information. And last but not least, we're from the Inland Empire, California, which is really close to LA County. And one of the rising clothing brands of LA, popular one, born and raised, the founder, unfortunately, Chris Spanto, passed away at the age of 42. I thought it was because of cancer, because I know he'd been battling cancer, but apparently it was because of a car accident, unfortunately, which sucks. And of course, you know, he's done a bunch of collabs with his brand, and it really was on the rise, and just unfortunate, right?
Yeah, and just, I mean, me and you both support LAFC, and they had just came out with a collab, right? And I remember seeing that, and then I saw the news. I was like, oh, shit, like, that sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. And I think he was slated to do a Nike collab, and they scrapped that after he passed away. And Damn. The shoes, if you want to take a look at them, they're available to Google. So I believe the colorways were like white and baby blue and gray, if I'm not mistaken. But hopefully one day they do release them. I know it's probably bad timing right now, but unfortunate. And he did a lot of collabs with, you know, the LA Dodgers and the LA Rams, of course. And again, I was starting to see it everywhere, and just really started to become that LA brand, you know, of now, I guess. those were all my new segments. Did you have anything that you'd like to add, Addy, before we do our songs of the week?
No, so I'm not gonna have too much.
Oh, sorry. Actually, I have something came to mind. We, a couple episodes back, were gonna give our thoughts and opinions on the weekend show, The Idol.
Oh.
It's over now, so we have the full kind of scope of our opinions, and go for it.
You watched all of them?
I watched all of them, yeah.
Yeah, I watched all of them, unfortunately, painstakingly. I think I mentioned to you that ever since the show, I cannot listen to The Weeknd's music anymore without being, like, a little cringy. And I still kind of feel that way. I haven't listened to the music he's come out for, the besides from the actual show. I'm interested to see if it's good. But overall, the show is, as our boy D would say, poop soup. It's a whole lot of, I mean, if you, it's a whole lot of nudity, a whole lot of sex, but a whole lot of nothing at the same time.
Yeah,
it could have been an hour and a half movie, maybe, instead of kind of giving us a lot of filler. But from what I've heard, and I don't know, you know, my wife was telling me about it. It was initially supposed to be directed by another director, but then it got then they decided to go with a different route because The Weeknd basically complained and said, like, hey, like, this needs to be more about, like, me. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of, like, reshot a lot of this stuff and did it with, I forget the person's name, about who took it over. But they basically do, I guess I'll look it up really quick. But, and I think, I don't know if they used any of the footage that they initially had before or if they just completely reshot things. But you can kind of see, and they kind of feel like it seems a little disheveled. A whole lot of nothing, like you said. Sam Levinson, he's the
one. Oh, yeah.
He does, I guess he did Euphoria and stuff like right. that, but I don't know who the original director was, but I guess you can see the Euphoria-ness in that show.
Right.
But I don't know. The Weeknd is not very good as an actor. Yeah. I know you like the girl, Lily Rose Depp.
I thought
she was just okay as an actor. But I don't know. It just felt like a whole lot of nothing, and then especially with the twist at the end.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, anyone if wants to listen to it or doesn't want to watch it. But at the end, they basically flip it and make it as if, she was the, like, ringleader, or she was, like, the one that was, like, not the, I don't know, like, the whole entire time, The Weeknd's, like, the bad guy and kind of, like, making her do things for him, and she's kind of just following, and then at the end of it, you find out that she was the mastermind all along, and we're supposed to feel bad for The Weeknd or something. I was like, all right, that's some bullshit. Like, it's wasting my time. So many loopholes that you left us with like, and I don't know if there's going to be a season two. Initially, there's supposed to be six episodes, but they said, oh no, we can finish it in five. And then, like, there was a famous K-pop star that was in it. Everyone was like, they're using her, and she was barely even in it. Like, and I kind of pissed my wife off because she was a huge fan of them. So, like, overall, like, it was a mess. But and I don't know if they'll do another season, but I hope not.
Yeah, I don't think so. And that was our biggest thing, right, is saying that this was, like, The Weeknd's chance. I'd be surprised if they give him another shot, I guess, because, you know, it sounded or it seemed like, at least online, that a lot of people didn't enjoy this, and rightfully so. You know, it was kind of all over the place. I mentioned to you that I was a fan of episode one, and I stand by that. I thought there was so much potential. The direction I thought the show was going to go in, it didn't go in that way at all. I actually liked The Weeknd in episode one. I thought he was creepy. I thought, you know, they were going to do this thing where, like, they use him as little as possible to kind of leave that mystery and just kind of leave him as a creep and kind of go off the strength of the other actors. And that's kind of what they did episode one. But obviously the more Weeknd we got, like, I think that's, for me, when it really started to decline. Because, like you said, he's not the best actor. But I'll start with what I did like. I liked Hank Azaria, you know.
Oh, yeah.
To see him in it was pretty cool. I thought he killed it, too. I thought he did a great job.
I agree.
I liked this actress called Daveen Joy Randolph. I thought she was amazing. I've never seen her in anything before, and she was kind of played Lily Rose Depp's friend and confidant, the African-American chick. And I Lily Rose Depp was sexy to me. What can I say? She was sexy. But, you know, I thought this was going to be a show about a cult or something like that. I thought it was going to get dark and creepy. And it kind of didn't, to be honest. And that was, like, so disappointing. And also, Eli Roth was in it, which was surprising. And I thought, okay, maybe that's, like, a little, you know, foreshadowing. This show's going to get real, like, gory and dark and just, like, what the fuck, you know? Like, some of his movies are, but... it just didn't go there. It didn't go there, and that was so disappointing. Mike Dean was also in it, the producer. So, I mean, the names were there, just poorly executed, and I wish they would have just stuck to the route of, again, using the Weeknd as little as possible, leaving him kind of mysterious and creepy and kind of just using the strength off of the other actors, I guess, and having him be this kind of cult leader, but it didn't get there. Yeah. So I agree. It was overall, it wasn't good, and I don't think they should make a season two. But man, what could have been? I mean, hopefully, 20 years from now they redo it, but they do it right. You know, I would like to see a show on about this like creepy cult leader, where it's like gory and just dark. Eli Roth should do it. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah. So those are my thoughts on that, and I have yet to check out the music too. Maybe, who knows? I'll check the sound. I'll pick the soundtrack or something, and at least maybe the music will be good. Who knows? We'll have to see. But let's jump into our songs of the week before we get out of here. What do you have for us today, Addison?
I have a couple tracks. This first one coming from, I randomly came across it, Kobe Collette, the one that tells us to counter in. She did a cover of Post Malone's Circles, and I thought it was pretty cool. This track popped up. Apparently it says it's a country song, but I don't really know if I believe that. But Tenacious D has a song. They have a song called Wicked Games. And there's a video for it, and they're just running through the beach, and it's pretty funny. And lastly, Juvenile came out with a Tiny Desk.
Oh, no, yeah.
Which I absolutely love. And just give a little – I don't know if you know the background behind it, but there was someone on Twitter basically said, like, hey, Juvenile, you should do Tiny Desk. And Juvenile was like, what the F is Tiny Desk?
And then sounds about right.
And then he tweeted out again saying, like, if I get, like, the 10K likes or retweets – I'll go on Tiny Desk and drink a cold one, like cold beer. And at the end of his set, he did back that thing up, and he's rapping, holding a beer. And I thought that was just like full circle, pretty great moment. If you watch that, it's great. And they even give him an encore, and it's a nice vibe. It's definitely not something that I was expecting to ever see on Tiny Desk, but he sure as hell killed it. He brought out Manny Fresh and a bunch of other people. So I'll go ahead and include a snippet on our songs of the week or whatever if it comes up to that. So
hell yeah, nice. So since we've been, you know, taking a break for a couple weeks, I'm gonna go all out. I'm gonna do four tracks. First one I found on Instagram. It's this guy who does like parody reels or something, but the song, never heard of this band before. It's a rock song, but it's fire. It's a band called Youngest Daughter, and the song is called Super Heaven. So song is fire. I that's all I can say. Ty Dolla $ign came out with a new track called Motion. It's different from anything he's ever done. It's like a completely new sound, and I absolutely love it. Short, straight to the point. I'm going to throw in an Astro Gilberto song. It's a cover of her doing Fly Me to the Moon, which I'm sure a lot of people, if you don't recognize her name, you'll probably recognize this cover. And then last but not least, speaking of the idol, there was a song in there that was very Euphoria-esque, you know, they throw a little sexy song in there in the club, and I had to Shazam it because I liked it, and it's a group called Medusa and Goodbyes, and the track is called Piece of Your Heart. So those are my songs of the week.
All right.
And with that being said, I think that does it for us. Our next episode, we're going to get back to the original picks, which were Anthony's picks, which we haven't had a chance to do just because of scheduling conflicts. But just to remind the listeners, if you want to tune in and play along with us, it is Russ's EP, Chomp 2.5, and another artist by the name of Just with his Narca 2 EP. That's what we'll be reviewing next. Stick around with us to see our thoughts on those two EPs. Addy, go ahead. I'm going to leave it to you to you know, get us out of here.
All right. Well, again, thanks you all for listening. Wiener,
oh,
you guys have been I'm glad you've come to listen, even though it's just, you know, me and Bebo for the past couple of Wiener episodes.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we appreciate it. We try to, you know, give as much effort in Wiener as we can.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, sometimes scheduling just doesn't work. You know, hopefully we can get back into a cadence Wiener.
Oh,
but
yeah.
With that being said, thank you all for listening, Wiener.
Oh, yeah.
Peace out. Wiener, 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 Wiener.
Oh, yeah.
Peace.